This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. It is 7:37 Wednesday, October 27. This week, ASEAN Summit is taking place as we speak with one obvious absence, and that is Myanmar, which is not present at the table. So in an unusual move last week on October 15, ASEAN agreed to bar Myanmar's military chief, General Min Aung Hlaing, from attending the summit over his failure to implement the ASEAN five-point consensus that was agreed upon in April.
Although ASEAN extended an invitation to a non-political representative, namely a senior citizen, this did not appease the junta, who said it would only accept participation of the head of state or head of government or his ministerial-level representatives. Now, the standoff has somewhat overshadowed the annual summit, during which US President Joe Biden will participate virtually. This is the first time the White House has attended the summit in 4 years. And so the question is, will this unprecedented move by ASEAN spur the junta to seek a resolution to the political crisis in Myanmar?
So to discuss the implications and the way forward, we speak to Dr. Oh Ee San, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Good morning, Ee San. Thanks for joining us again. Now, ASEAN is well known for its reluctance to isolate members, preferring a course of engagement and dialogue. But why do you think it took the decision this time to bar the Burmese junta leader from attending?
Well, I think what they did, namely the junta, was very blatant. Not only they seized power unconstitutionally earlier on in the year, and then towards the middle of the year, ASEAN tried its best to reach some sort of accommodation with the junta. It was the five-point consensus, whereby the ASEAN envoy is supposed to be able to meet both the junta as well as the opposition. But the junta has been blocking the envoy's access to the opposition all these months. So I think this is a very stern warning from the part of ASEAN that this is unacceptable on the part of the Myanmar junta. Yeah.
So I want to build on that point where there was very little progress on the five-point consensus. Now, since Myanmar is, you know, kind of responded to say they're not even going to send a delegation or representative, do you think there'll be any progress on the five-point consensus then?
Well, if you look at the ASEAN summit, it's not only the ASEAN heads of states or heads of governments meeting. They will be also so-called, let's say, ASEAN plus three or ASEAN plus one, right? They will be meeting, well, albeit virtually, with, as you mentioned, the US President Joe Biden and so on. But frankly speaking, by ASEAN alone, you are not going to sort of persuade Myanmar the Myanmar junta to back down. But ASEAN in conjunction with, let's say, the US, various European powers and so on, would be able, I think, to be more persuasive in having the junta to accommodate some forms of democratizations. Yeah.
But if I look at the whole picture, I mean, at the end of the day, what options do we have in front of us to resolve this crisis? Is it just going to be a series of discussions? Is there going to be any other things that, let's say, different governments can do to persuade the junta to come to some point of a settlement?
Well, as I said, you need to work together with the major powers of the world. But you also noticed something very interesting. Yesterday, during the summit session, even leaders from Cambodia, as we know, it's, shall we say, a semi-democratic country, spoke out very strongly against the junta. So did the Thai prime minister, who himself was, was the head of a junta not so long ago. So I think if I'm Myanmar and I see that some of my neighbors whom I thought would be backing me up all this while are also speaking very strongly against me, then perhaps I should really think about making some concessions here.
Do you think this is driven by the sense that Myanmar might be facing a civil war and your neighbors, the neighbors are getting nervous about this?
I think that is partly so, especially as far as Thailand is concerned. Imagine if there's a civil war, there will be refugees streaming across the border into Thailand, right? And Malaysia, it's of course also not far away. You can expect a lot of people coming here by boats. So we would love to see our fellow neighbor to have a very peaceful transition to democracy in that sense.
So you made a point about Cambodia, where they have been very stern and kind of strident in their approach because they will take over the seat of the chairmanship from Brunei. So do you expect this posture to continue on with Cambodia taking on the seat? Because originally we were concerned that they would, you know, be a bit more passive, you know, compared to Brunei.
Well, Hun Sen was rather gung-ho yesterday. He said something to the effect that we did not exclude Myanmar, but Myanmar excluded himself. You know? So it's encouraging that even Hun Sen would say such words. Let's see whether when Cambodia does take over, this sort of momentum to push Myanmar back to democracy would continue. I think it would, because I think there's a very strong consensus. And I'm very happy to see that Malaysia is actually leading this consensus here.
Meanwhile, what is ASEAN's engagement like with the National Unity Government? Has the NUG made any headway in getting recognition?
With ASEAN, unfortunately, not yet. But I think the U.S. Administration, Biden administration, has met representatives from NUG, I think, just a few days ago. So the major powers, I think, backing up this democratically elected NUG government, yeah.
Now, Myanmar clearly has overshadowed this whole ASEAN summit.
That's right.
What other items were meant to be on the in-tray for this summit, actually, besides Myanmar?
Well, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic and the attendant economic recovery efforts should have been the highlights of this summit, right? As ASEAN countries struggle to get back on their feet again in terms of economic development. There are still a number of ASEAN countries which are still facing very serious pandemic. And, how could they more effectively, with the help of their fellow neighbors, get back on their feet? That should have been the highlight.
What about the South China Sea issue, Isan? Because yesterday there was a report from South China Morning Post saying that Chinese vessels are making incursions into Malaysian territorial waters.
Well, China vessels have been making very frequent incursions into what Malaysia perceives to be our waters. And I think it's very difficult for ASEAN as a whole to reach a consensus on how to handle this and similar events, because, number one, the South China Sea issues only concern about, let's say, less than half of ASEAN's members. And then, all these ASEAN members, they're very strong trade ties with China and are therefore reluctant to enrage China. So I frankly don't think you have a very successful run at trying to reach a consensual stance on the South China Sea from the ASEAN forum. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Dr. Oh Yi San, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, giving us the lowdown in terms of what to expect from the ASEAN summit, which is being overshadowed by the crisis in Myanmar. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.